I've been really enjoying these talks about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody else has been. I think they've been absolutely amazing. And Mike Pusey, oh my gosh. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? 81 and full of fire for God. It's amazing, isn't it? I felt like who he was as much a message as the message he brought, wasn't it? I thought I'm just going to be carrying on talking about the Holy Spirit being a person and having a relationship with him. But I think Mike touched on something really important that we need to, at some point, we've got to really spend some time on, is about the power. Because we've only kind of just touched that, haven't we? But there is a world out there, there's a whole load of people in here who really need an encounter with God to set them free, to heal them from things. So we need that, don't we? We need to really grasp. I'm learning Ephesians quite slowly, off by heart. And Paul's prayer, isn't it, is that we will come to understand the incredible greatness of the power of God that is in us who believe him. And so that's really my prayer, is that I will really get it. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. I'm armed and loaded, and I'm ready to roll. Because we want to see people heal, people who have got some awful stuff they're dealing with, and Jesus died that would not be the case. So it's not what we're focusing on, but we've got to get there. So we've got to be really praying that and really seeking God for that. And we tend to seek him for that when we're in the need. But it'd be really good to be seeking for him now, so that when the need comes, we just speak to the storm, as it were, and tell it where to go. So
I could get quite stressful about it, but that's not what I'm talking about, so I will calm down.
What I'm going to do, have I got my little podcast, my thing? Oh, brilliant. I thought Chris, I don't know where Chris is. Oh, here he is. I thought he was brilliant the other day. And what he said really spoke to me, that verse. Can two people walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And it was making me think about my relationship with the Holy Spirit and how can I walk with him? I want to walk with him, and so I want to agree with him. There's a couple of scriptures. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I was thinking about that. How can anybody walk with together unless they agree? And I want to be in step with the Holy Spirit. I want to learn to hear his voice and listen to him and do what he's doing. That's the way Jesus lived, and that's what we're called to do, because we're called to follow him. And the next one, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So that is our inheritance. That is our inheritance. It's not like a you should be, and if you're not, then possibly you're not sort of type verse. It's a this is our inheritance. Our inheritance is, as sons of God, we can be led by the Spirit of God. So I don't know about you, but I want to go, oh, yes. I really want to be led by the Spirit of God. I really want to be like that. And so I was thinking about this agreeing with the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't find Chris's thing, but it was something like that, wasn't it? Mr. Facing Both Ways, something like that. And I couldn't get the writing out in the middle of it, and it irritated me, but I got the sort of gist. And I was thinking about how is it that we could be walking, be Mr. Facing Both Ways. And I was thinking about that word, can two people walk together unless they've agreed? And to me, agreeing is thinking the same. You know, you both have the same attitude about a particular thing. And so that immediately made me think about how much we come into the world, we've got our mindsets from the world. You know, it's got to be hard. I expect to be rejected. Nothing comes on a plate. You know, all that kind of rejection-y, it'll be withheld from me, it's going to be difficult. And the problem is, we take all those mindsets into the kingdom. And I think the Holy Spirit's saying, walk with me, but we're over here going, oh, he doesn't want me, I wish he would want me to walk with him. And he's over here saying, Debs, walk with me, but I've come into it with my earthly mindsets. And I know I talk about this a lot, but it really is talking from my heart of what God is doing with me. And over these talks about the Holy Spirit's been showing me more and more the stuff in me that means I'm coming into the kingdom with these earthly mindsets. And I was thinking about that, Mr. Facing Both Ways, isn't it in James? A double-minded man doesn't get anywhere, does it? So we're in this, he loves me, I don't know that he does. He wants me to have this, I don't think he does. And this double-mindedness means we're frustrated all the time. And I think, you know, what these talks are about Holy Spirit wants you to feel really hungry for him. And Holy Spirit wants you to know he just wants to pour himself out on you. And so we're wanting a shift in our hearts from wherever we're at in our walk with the Holy Spirit. We want to be propelled forward deeper and further into him. Yeah? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, this is my little picture. Because I feel like this is what the Holy Spirit would quite like to do on occasion. But the reason I thought about it was because a little while ago, this is very rare, and I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear this, but having a little tussle with my husband at church, something he thought we should be doing, he said, come on, Debs, let's go and do that. I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. Debs, come on, I think it'd be really good if we do it. No, you do it. I don't want to do it. You do it. This is going on. Bicker, 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 bicker. No, come on, love, I think it's really important. Let's do it together. No, no, I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. You do it. It's all going on. Then Jamie does the killer. Darling, we're setting an example for people. People will be seeing your example. Come on, you need to be doing this one. You know, got me with that one, got me with that one. Anyway, so Jim and Heather were fairly nearby, probably heard quite a lot of this. Hey, hey, I'm not doing it. Hey, sort of going on for me in this. And Jamie, come on, love, you know. Anyhow, so saw Jim the next day. I said, oh, Jim, you know, sorry about yesterday. I was having a little bit of a moment. But I hope you noticed I submitted in the end. He went, yeah, well, I noticed that when Jamie got you in a headlock and dragged you to the front, you submitted. And I thought, yes, it was a bit like that. But actually, you know, can two agree and walk together? You've got to, haven't you? And Holy Spirit doesn't want to be dragging us, you know, in a headlock. He won't do that, but he does tend to need to do that with me quite a lot, but we don't want him to. So I really want to encourage you, and I'm going to talk a little bit about hindrances to having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what I'm trusting the Lord to do is that there's this amazing word, isn't there? Truth sets you free. So I'm going to talk a few about some of the kind of ungodly beliefs we may have that mean we're in this shall we, shan't we, should we, shouldn't we, is he, will he, won't he, I don't know, thing that gets us really frustrated in our walk with the Holy Spirit. He is so amazing, and we need him so much, yeah? Do you get that? Do you realize how much we need him? Jesus is the amazing one. And if we're with Jesus, amazing things happen, yeah? So it's really important for me to get out of the way and allow the presence of Jesus to really come. I really want to host him. And I've been reading Holy Spirit, I'm Hungry for You by Claudio Friedson or something. And he started out with a church of seven. Two of them were him and his wife, and the rest were old age pensioners, no offense. And he only had seven. And he had that for years and years. And God had to send him on a journey of really honoring the Holy Spirit. And once he honored the Holy Spirit and called out to the Holy Spirit, the church phenomenally grew. And if you just think of wherever you are, we want to really grow, don't we? This week I've been down to my mum's, and my mum, bless her heart, has got she's got benign skin cancer, but she's got this huge lump now on her forehead, and she's too old for them to operate because she's 93 and it wouldn't be safe. And I'm like, you're getting off her, you know, nothing's happening, because I need to really dig in deep and find Jesus and let him do it, because it's not a problem to him, is it? But we all, I'm sure everybody this week, if you thought about it, there's a situation where if Jesus was there in real power, it would be totally different. And we need him, don't we? So we've got to deal with these mindsets. Are we ready to deal with them? Yeah. Because there's a world out there, and people in your family and you yourself, we need more of him, don't we? So the Holy Spirit is always saying one thing, and it will be something really positive, and we need to agree with him. And he can't make us do that. He doesn't want to do that. We've got to do the agreeing. We've got to make some choices and let the feelings and all the other stuff follow. So I want to deal with some earthly mentality and start to get the kingdom mentality. So we approach God with these kind of mindsets. Why can't I feel his presence? Why doesn't he come? It won't happen for me. It's not going to happen. He won't give it to me. And we know those are all wrong. Yeah, we know that's not true. But what I'm dealing with is how your heart gets really exposed and you find out that those are really the things you believe. So for me, bless my heart, bless me myself. I've had a few things where God really shows me what's going on in my heart. And about 20 years ago, I used to be a leader of the church here, and I went on a some sort of meeting. It was in Reading. I can't remember where exactly it was, and it was all church leaders. And literally, this lovely guy was there, and he was praying. He did a talk, and then he prayed for all the church leaders, and it was like a bomb site. Every single person was on the ground. And I love exaggerating, but I am not exaggerating. Everybody was on the ground apart from the guy who was praying, the guy behind him who was catching everybody, and one person who was going around and just soaking for everybody. And I was virtually the last person up to be prayed for. And I just stood there in a room full of people groaning, crying, laughing, sobbing, meeting with Jesus. It was embarrassing. But it really exposed my heart, because my heart was, it won't happen for me. He doesn't really love me as much as he loves those people. I don't think I deserve him. You know, and all that was being exposed in the looking really nice, but underneath frustration that was going on. And I've also been to Toronto, the birthplace of the great outpouring. Yes, it's going to be fantastic. And I was there, and we were in the overflow room, masses of people. They'd got really kind of trained. They had sort of tape, and you had to stand on the tape so that, because they expected everybody to fall and you wouldn't crash onto the next lot of people. And there was only one guy, poor guy, in the overflow room. So he just was just rolling along, just tapping everybody. And they were going, pow, 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 pow. And it was like he was just rolling, you know, a stick down a railing. Got to me, boom, I just stood there, you know, and carried on. And it was boom, 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 boom. And there was me, like, I just feel like I've been slapped in the face, you know. And it was one of those things. But what it did was then it exposed all this kind of stuff that you don't know is there until you get those situations. So I'm like marching off, offended, back to my hotel. Hadn't told anybody where I was. They were waiting for me at the end. I couldn't care less. You know, I was in a total sort of strop. But it was good. Yay! Because what it does is it shows you what's in your heart and what you're believing. And then you get the chance to deal with it. So, oh God, I'm really sorry. This is what I believe. Will you help me believe what you say about things? Because I know the problem is not your side, it's my side. You never reject me. I've got my little rejection mindsets. But if I take them over here, they don't make sense. Because here I'm a daughter. I'm dearly loved. I've probably said this, Ephesians. I'm Ephesians obsessed at the moment. But I've been reading this one about he has brought us near. Right at the beginning of Ephesians. I can't remember it without my going. I have to do it right from the beginning. Otherwise, I'm stuck. This is awful. But when I've been meditating on that verse, it just suddenly dawned on me. He just loves me being with him. He just wants me close. He just loves it. And that's the kingdom, you see. But if we take our stuff from how things were genuinely for us before we knew him into the kingdom, it means all this frustration, because we come that Mr. Facing Both Ways, and then we don't receive anything. So here's a few more. I'm not worthy. Well, no, you're not. But Jesus is, and he's made you worthy, hasn't he? I can't experience God. You were born for it. You were made by him. You were born for it. You were born for him. I can manage on my own. Sorry. It says, without me, you can do nothing. So, sorry, that's not true. He is withholding from me. No good thing will he withhold from those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to get onto the truth, yeah, about what the Holy Spirit really wants for us and who he is and how we can receive him, because he's a wonderful person and we need more of him. And thinking about Mike Pusey, I just want to say something he said years and years and years ago massively impacted my life, that God is not a God of disappointment. And that really sort of was a seed that's sown, and over the years that's just grown and grown and grown in me, because my earthly thing here would be disappointment. Dad wasn't who I wanted him to be. Family life wasn't how I wanted it to be. Friendships weren't what I thought they would be, you know. And I carried that disappointment into the kingdom. Oh, I bet the Holy Spirit doesn't want to do much with me. You know, all that kind of stuff. And that seed sown, I've been like, I'm agreeing with it. I'm agreeing with it. I'm agreeing with it. It's a totally different life in the kingdom. It's a totally different life. And I'm going to believe you, God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah? So, what is the truth? This is from my lovely New Living Translation. It gives the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Did you realize that? It gives the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? It puts a smile on his face when you have the kingdom, when you ask for the Holy Spirit who releases the kingdom, yeah? Can you believe that? Who wants to make Father happy? Come on, let's see those hands. You, yeah, we want to make him happy. And the way my hero Isabel Allam translates that verse, the Father has already said yes. It's amazing, isn't it? So this, I've been over this few weeks about the Holy Spirit, I've been learning this off by heart. I've stopped Ephesians for a little bit. I've been learning this off by heart. I've been meditating on it. I've been letting the truth of that really impact me. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's our God, yeah? In our cell, we've been calling this the year of receiving. Because I'm really good at doing the asking, the seeking, the knocking, and I forgot that there is a a receiving, a finding, and the door opening that God wants for me. He doesn't want me to be disappointed or unfulfilled. He wants to answer my prayers. So we need to expect to receive. And we need to learn this and meditate on it until it becomes a genuine part of what we, how we really think, feel, and believe, yeah? He is my God. He wants me to ask, and I'm going to receive. Yeah? And then it goes on to say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yeah? How much more? We all know how to give gifts, he's saying. None of you are up to the same goodness as God. If you, even the way you are, you know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Father want to give you the Holy Spirit? And also, guys, how much better than anything you could ever have is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Yeah? He's a really good gift. He's not to be frightened or withdrawn from at all. He's an amazing gift. He's a good gift to have. So we want to agree with that, yeah? We want to start to agree. How much more the Father wants to give me the Holy Spirit. However much I have of the Holy Spirit, how much more he wants to give me. And it's a good gift. Would you agree? Shall we declare it then? Okay, so after me. Let me have a think what we're going to say. Okay. So, Father God, I choose to believe that when I ask you for the Holy Spirit, I will receive. Thank you, it's your delight to give me the kingdom. It puts a smile on your face. And I want to put a smile on your face. Yeah. Pour out your Holy Spirit. I want him. Yeah. Good stuff, eh? And I was thinking about this one. In Luke, you know the story with the two sons and the older one who gets really cheesed off at the end. And he says, you know, you've given this son all this stuff and you've not given me anything. And Father says to him, you are with me always and everything I have is yours. And sometimes we can get a little bit, I think the presence of God is one of those things in the church where we get the most striving about, we get the most frustrated about, and we can get the most jealous of other people about. When actually every single person, there's not one person who has a different place in God's heart. And he's saying, everything, absolutely everything I have is yours. I'm not going to withhold anything from you. And this, I had to stick in a bit of Ephesians. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So at this moment in time, I am surrounded by every single blessing. Hannah was talking about being surrounded by angels. We're surrounded by the kingdom. We're surrounded by the Holy Spirit. He's got everything for us. The Father has already said yes. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we need to filter it all through that filter of the Father has said yes. There is so much more for me and he wants to give me more. How much more does he want to give me? Amazingly more. And it's good. Yeah, it's good. God has already said yes. And I was thinking about this stupid, silly analogy, but if somebody cuts me a slice of cake, you know, and says, here's a slice of cake. What do? You eat it, don't you? Just say, thanks very much. Woohoo! And you eat it, yeah? You don't go, oh, is there any way I could possibly have this cake? Would you find it in your heart to give me this cake? I don't deserve this cake. You know, we just, oh, fab, unless it's carrot cakes. I'm not so keen. But, you know, it's just, you know, we get ourselves into such a state and we forget who God is. He's our Father. He loves us. He wants to put a smile on your face. He wants you to put a smile on his face. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. However much you know about the Holy Spirit, I'm saying to you, there is more. There is more. God wants to give you more. There's a world out there, so we need more, but he wants us to have more. So that's one hindrance. Mindsets. And my hubby, when I was doing this talk about mindsets, which I do on the healing encounter, he had this picture of mindsets, ungodly beliefs, they're like a tapeworm. And whenever you're eating anything, it just gets eaten by the tapeworm and you don't get any of the nutrition. And that's what ungodly beliefs are. So those beliefs I've put up, you'll have little tinges of them. Maybe you'll have it full on and you can say, yeah, I know where you're coming from, Debs. Or you might have little bits. But that's the tapeworm that's sucking all the goodness out, that's causing that frustration. That means you're not having all that God has for you in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the next thing I want to talk about is being religious. And I have a wonderful helper to help me just to talk a little bit about how being religious can be actually a hindrance to knowing the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to bring up this beautiful and wonderful assistant. Let's give her a round of applause, Sophie Burnham. Woohoo! Ooh.
Thanks, Mum. Hello, everyone. Mum's just asked me to talk to you about religious mindsets because, unfortunately, this is something I've really struggled with. Yes, so this is the Sophie definition of being struggling with religion. Religion is coming from a place of, I am unacceptable, or I have to do something to make myself right and acceptable to God. And obviously, We're Christians, so we believe that Jesus died. We're already right. We're already acceptable. We're already, you know, blessed with every spiritual blessing. But sometimes it can be in my head, definitely it was, that there's people on a pedestal like your Heidi Bakers and your Bill Johnsons, and they're the kind of spiritually blessed people. And they got spiritually blessed because of all the things that they did. They obviously prayed more than me and read their Bible more than me, and that's how they earned that kind of spiritual kudos with God, which is such an ungodly mindset, isn't it? Because it's only by grace that we receive these things through Jesus. Yeah, but I believed all that rubbish. And how religious mindsets can affect us. Oh, just quickly, first of all, of course, having that belief that we're not acceptable and there's all this stuff wrong with us is also completely wrong. And just while we're in the worship, I just felt God saying that some of us still kind of really struggle with that, looking at all the ways we're going wrong and looking at how much we're struggling and how bad we are. And one of the things that God really spoke to me when I first started hearing his voice was he said, if you look at me, you'll see eyes that have never been disappointed in you and have never known disappointment. And so I just really want to encourage you, if you have that when you come into the presence of God, you feel that sense of, he sees all my mistakes. He's looking at where I'm going wrong. He's never even once felt disappointed in you or looked at you in that way. But how religious mindsets can really affect our relationship with God is they can stop us being real with him. And things like praying and reading your Bible can become sort of things we do to tick a box, rather than to actually facilitate relationship. So how I kind of think of it is it's akin to me sort of saying, okay, Mum, I'm going to clean the bathroom for you, or I'm going to hoover the sitting room for you or something, and then going away and thinking, yes, that means I have a relationship with my mum because of, look what I did. And so for me, like, praying, reading my Bible, that stuff was just ticking a box, and there was no real relationship there. And so God really took me on a journey with that. By the way, I'm not saying praying and reading your Bible is wrong. I'm saying it's the attitude of your heart while you're doing it. In one such instance of God taking me on this journey, I was praying and reading my Bible, and I was in a hotel at the time, and it was during the World Cup, and the hotel like had all of these screens with the football going on, and I really like football. And so I was trying, I didn't know that that was going to be going on when I went there to do my quiet time. So I was trying to pray and read my Bible while I was thinking, oh no, and hearing kind of background noise of cheering and stuff. And I'm like trying, no, 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 God, no, no, I'm focusing on you and blah, blah, blah. And then I just heard the, like, this little voice of the Holy Spirit go, do you want to watch the football? And I went, yeah, yeah, I really do. So I went and watched the football with him. Not to say, I'm really glad the guys are out at the moment, but not to say that obviously praying and reading a Bible is not something God wants us to do. Obviously he wants us to do that every day. But he also wants a real friendship with us, where he does things with us that we would do with real friends, you know, things that we enjoy, things that give us life. And yeah, and so if we really embrace that kind of non-religious mindset of I'm already acceptable and I don't need to do any of these things to be acceptable, we can start doing them just to enjoy relationship with him.
Brilliant. Well done, love. Very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah, absolutely. So we need to get rid of some of that stuff as well. So just quickly, some other things. Stress. Stress really affects our walk with the Lord. And we're going to have to work out some ways to get rid of stress, because the cares of this world choke us, don't they? And probably there isn't a week go by where we, at some point, we're not feeling stressed. Am I right? So just very quickly, when you get stressed, the walls of your soul come up. And so your spirit is trapped inside, and you can't, it's your spirit that relates to Holy Spirit. So we've got to learn how to de-stress. And I just want to mention a couple of, very quickly, just a couple of things. One, laughter. Laughter, laughter, laughter. When you laugh, your walls come down, and then you can hear Holy Spirit. When you're stressed, you can't. And I've got here, this is a bit where Scrooge finally learns how to laugh, and he's sort of coughing and spluttering. It's like his laughing muscles have atrophied, and then he finally gets to really, really laugh. And I want to say, put laughter into your life. I know this is going to sound quite liberating, I hope. It's quite a surprising thing to say. But I would say laughter is the thing. Lighten up, and then your walls come down, and Holy Spirit can talk to you. When I am really stressed out in my brain, it's like God doesn't exist. I cannot feel his presence. I do not know that he's there. But when I laugh and when I relax, then I get to really feel his presence and hear what he's saying. And I stop partnering with stress and with fear and with anxiety and worry. And I start partnering with the kingdom, where everything is going to get sorted in him. So I really want to encourage you. In cell one time, we did a, let's just remember all the you know, funny stories, and tell us funny stories and have a laugh. And I have to say, Vicky told us a story which involved a wig and a bus stop, which I won't go into, but when she could not get the words out trying to tell us, and we were apoplectic laughing, and because of this story that she was trying to tell us. And that you could feel the presence of God, and you could feel the lightness, and you could feel the stress coming off everybody, and then we were ready to pray, and then we were ready to hear Holy Spirit. So put laughter into your life. I love Everybody Loves Raymond. I just love that story, that thing. So I, you know, and because it's on Sky, you can hear, it's like repeat, repeat, repeat. But find something that makes you laugh. You could even tickle each other. You never know. I'm so highly strung that if somebody tickled me without warning, I'd probably punch their lights out. So it's probably not a good idea. But we really do need to lighten up and have some fun. So I've got here as well, this is one of my favourite scenes. I don't know how to get it, so you get the clip. But from Mary Poppins, where the guy gets told the story about how this man met this man who had a wooden leg called Smith. And he went, oh yeah, what was his other leg called? And in it, he finally gets the joke. And, you know, he dies laughing, actually. But it's quite funny. Not that I'm suggesting. So I want to say de-stress. De-stress. And it's not going to happen unless you make it happen. So the amount of times we go to bed stressed out and worried, and we wake up in a bad mood and stressed out and worried, and that's if we've managed to sleep. So we need to really chill. And then the Holy Spirit can really talk to us. And I want to talk about, say, pray in tongues. I think that's the most undervalued, underused, amazing gift that Holy Spirit gives us, which is just for us, to strengthen us. If you don't know what speaking in tongues is, it's a gift where you get to have another language. Sometimes it's a heavenly language. Sometimes it's a language that you find out because you happen to be near somebody who comes from that country, that it's actually a language that's on this earth at the moment. But it's a massive gift to get you strong. So I pray in tongues every single day. I pray in tongues for a good 20 minutes every day. I pray throughout the day speaking in tongues. And when I do that, what happens is the walls of my flesh, the walls of my soul get down, and my spirit leads rather than my soul leading. And I can hear Holy Spirit talking so much easier because I've been praying in tongues. So our souls like to lead. They really like to lead, but they're not meant to lead. Our spirits are meant to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I really want to recommend speaking in tongues. Do it all through the day. And if you don't know how to speak in tongues, it's a gift. God wants to give it to you. And we'd love to pray for you to have that gift. But I really want to say it keeps the fire burning. It really keeps the fire burning. And lastly, I want to talk a little bit, in fact, just pray with us about the other thing Chris said. Oh, he said a wonderful thing. I love that. If you want to be close to the Holy Spirit, be obsessed with Jesus. I thought that's exactly it, because Holy Spirit just loves it when we talk about Jesus. But the other thing he said was make
good moral choices, wasn't it? And I want us to just declutter today by just getting rid of the mistakes we've made and pushing them out the way and giving them to Jesus so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and we can start today, start this week on a clean slate. Yeah, because there are things that the Holy Spirit gets grieved by. So I've put them in purple. Stop telling lies. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Quit stealing. Don't use foul or abusive language. Don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. Be tender-hearted and forgiving. So in other words, get rid of unforgiveness. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness. Don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the way I was thinking about today was, let's have a declutter. Okay, we want to get rid of some mindsets. We want to get rid of some religious mindsets. We want to de-stress. And we just want to clear out any stuff from the past so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit even more than we are already. And it's not a heavy thing because Jesus did it, didn't he? He paid the price. There's no condemnation. We're just giving it to Jesus, receiving his forgiveness and saying, today's a new day. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. How do we feel about that? Yeah? So what I would like to do, if you are able to stand, if you're not able to stand, that's fine. But in some way, we're kind of making this our own. Do you see what I mean? So if you can stand to go with it with me. And what we're going to do, we're just going to repent of stuff, okay? And clear the way so we can, we're just saying, Lord, we want more of you. So we're getting rid of the stuff that drags them down. Is that all right? So I'm just going to kind of go through it from here. All right, and I want you to really engage with God, so we're just going to invite him, okay? So Holy Spirit, I just really want to thank you that you're here. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you that you dearly love us, and I want to thank you that you want us to experience more of you. You want us to be filled with more of you. You want to flow through our lives, and however much we know you, Holy Spirit, and we're really glad we do. I know that you have so much more for us. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, we just want to say sorry for all the ways we've grieved you. We really don't want to hurt you. And we're sorry how we've taken you for granted and we haven't really lived our lives aware of you in us and that what we do matters to you. So you may not have lied, but we're just going to just say sorry. It might be just in little ways, maybe we haven't told the truth or been straightforward. But let's just all say today now. So, Jesus, I'm sorry, for every way that I have lied. Yeah, yeah. And just let it go. We're letting it go to the cross. We're letting it go to Jesus. And we're not identifying with that anymore. That's not who we are. Yeah, and Jesus, I want to say, Holy Spirit, I want to say sorry for every way I have allowed anger to control me. Yeah, yeah. And every way I've hurt people with my anger. Yeah, and every time I've gone to bed still angry. Yeah, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know that maybe we've been doing any stealing, but if in any shape or form, in any kind of way, we've been stealing, in whatever way it is, we want to get rid of that. So, Holy Spirit, I want to say sorry for every way I've been stealing. I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah, yeah. And I want to say sorry for every foul and abusive thing that's come out of my mouth. Yeah, Every way I've used my mouth to curse rather than to bless. Or I've been harsh or unkind with my words. I'm sorry for grieving you. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. It's good, we're getting rid of it. Yeah, and today, Holy Spirit, I get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all harsh words, and slander. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, God. Yeah, God. Every way that I've hurt people or gossiped about people or said something unkind about somebody, Lord God, I just want to say sorry for that. And yeah, and today, Holy Spirit, yeah, come and wash my heart clean of every single drop of bitterness. Yeah. I let go of all unforgiveness now. Yeah, all judgment, all offense, in Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah, God, yeah, God, yeah, God. Yeah, and yeah, Holy Spirit, every way that I have been impure, either in my thoughts, or my words, or my actions, I'm really sorry. Yeah, yeah. I realize I am your temple. Yeah, and I just repent of it now. Yeah, come and wash me clean. Yeah, yeah, God. Yeah, God. Yeah. Yeah, and all obscene talk of any kind, I just repent of now, in Jesus' name. Yeah, 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 and Holy Spirit, any time I've been a little bit over merry or drunk, I repent of it now. Yeah, because you say not to do that. You want me to be drunk with you instead. Yeah, so I repent of it now. In Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. So let's just have a little wriggle. Get rid of that. Shake it all off. Don't get a bit serious. So we let go of all that. So that is fantastic. And we're just going to say, we're just going to pray for religious mindsets, and then we're going to ask band to come up, and we're going to pray for us to be filled, yeah? This is a new day. Yeah, so in every way I have partnered with a religious spirit that says I have to earn it, or it has to be hard, I repent of that now. I declare that I am fully accepted by you. There's nothing I have to do from that point of view, God. Yeah. Yeah, God. Set me free. In Jesus' mighty name.